time to check in with the editor of Ukrainian Freedom News in Ukraine, Joseph Lindsley. And Joseph, headlines this morning have to do with that nuclear power plant shutting down another reactor due to shelling. We're hearing about Russian forces trying to disrupt that nuclear inspection team. I don't understand why they would do that, because I thought they were okay with the inspection anyway. But the reports today have to do with the Atomic Energy Agency mission being delayed to the Ukrainian-controlled side of the front line for about 3 hours. And apparently there has been some shelling, as we mentioned. And we heard earlier, a while back, that Russia seemed to be okay with this inspection. I think we have Joseph with us now. Are you there?
Bob, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Hello, I heard you. So hello from Dnipro, which is just about 60 miles as the crow flies from the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Here, it's calm at the moment, but all the drama, or most of the drama right now, is indeed in the city of Enerhodar, which means the city that gives energy, and that's the sort of the company town that surrounds the largest nuclear plant in Europe. And it's, you know, so everyone knew, the world knew, that the International Atomic Energy Agency was, you know, they were in Zaporizhzhia yesterday, and that their plan was today to arrive at the nuclear plant. About maybe 40 minutes ago, we had reports that they have indeed arrived on the territory of the plant. But very strangely this morning, and perhaps not a surprise, the Russians began shelling that civilian city surrounding the nuclear plant. They've occupied the city. The Russians have already occupied this city, and they're hitting it with Russian helicopters. It's very bizarre. They were firing at civilian buildings, and we could a lot of, and also they were hitting the road that the International Atomic Energy Inspectors, the very road that they needed to travel in order to arrive at the nuclear plant, the Russians were shelling this morning. And maybe this is trying to intimidate them, or maybe perhaps some Ukrainians with whom I spoke here in Dnipro were saying, maybe the Russians want to hide some evidence. Who knows? But it's certainly they're continuing to be reckless. And meanwhile, the Rafael Grossi, he's the Argentine director of the International Atomic Energy Agency. He said, no matter how much they try to scare us, we are going there. The Russians even said you have to wait in line. Like it's Disney World. I don't think there's a line to get into the into the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plants right now, but no. So the Russians continue to say very bizarre things. Mm-hmm. But the mission, which is this organization, is part of the United Nations sort of entity, they say they want to spend several days there. There's a lot of things they want to investigate. Also, they want to talk to the Ukrainian employees of the nuclear plant. These employees have been held hostage since March. And I think the Russians probably do not want those conversations to happen. So we're still in the, you know, we know that the officials have arrived. We don't know what's going to happen from then on. Also, on the energy front, today, the chairman of the board of Lukoil, Russia's second largest energy company, or second largest oil company, he had been bedridden with some illness, and he somehow fell out of his bed and fell out the window in Moscow. Yep. His company early in the war was a little bit critical of the war, and he's maybe the sixth or seventh major Russian oil executive to die mysteriously around Europe or Russia since the war started.
He fell out of a window?
From his hospital bed.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Joseph, yeah. I know you're a history buff, and with Gorbachev passing away, give us a couple of thoughts. I know Putin is not going to attend the funeral, and I read that in Russia today, Putin's government embodies the winning side, that most people feel that way. What's your assessment?
Yeah, you know, and there's my assessment, and then there's what Ukrainians have been saying. And when I thought Ukrainians might have some affinity for Gorbachev, after all, his mother was from Ukraine, so he was partially Ukrainian. But Ukrainians, and also not just Ukrainians, but Lithuanians, the Baltic nations, people in other countries who were under Soviet rule, do not have the same affinity for Gorbachev that I think Americans do. In fact, I think a lot of the Ukrainians and those who lived in countries that suffered under communism have more of an appreciation for someone like Ronald Reagan, who they think sort of helped steer Gorbachev. But on the other side, I think And then for the little I know, like the relationship between Thatcher and Gorbachev and Reagan, you know, they built real friendships. And I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that there was a video where I saw an old video of the leading news anchors the last month of Reagan's presidency. So it was Bernard Shaw and Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, etc. They were all in the Oval Office talking with Ronald Reagan. And he spoke about his friendship with Gorbachev and how he knew Gorbachev wanted to, you know, wanted some kind of freedom for the people of the Soviet Union. And so my perspective was that, you know, he wanted to change things. But again, I hear from people on the ground here that, you know, he still perpetuated that system for a while. He grew up in that system. And right, actually in Ukraine right now, no one has any time to have nice thoughts about any Russian, I think. Mm-hmm. But there was that moment in that interview with Reagan. And forgive me if I already said this to you, but he said Ronald Reagan, who was Alzheimer's, was already, you know, clearly probably coming on, you know, conquering his mind. But he quoted a Russian saying in the Russian language, which the translation is trust but verify. And he said that's something that Gorbachev taught him. And you see, I saw in that video with Reagan, you know, real, despite whatever mental problems he might have had then, real leadership. And it's tough to see. I think it's tough to see that caliber right now around the world.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And finally, Joseph, the other night, because of you and our conversation about that movie that you're portrayed in, The Loudest Voice, with Russell Crowe, the Showtime series on the beginning of Fox News, I'm dreaming that I'm talking to Roger Ailes. He's like right in my face explaining to me why I was fired. Now, I never worked for him, but it was a very bizarre dream based on the fact that I went back and reviewed that series. So no more talk about that after today, okay?
Yeah, thanks, because I had strange dreams the past few nights with a mixture of Russian shelling and Ailes, conversations with Ailes. So I'll agree to that truce.
Yeah, I mean, it was very bizarre. All right, well, hopefully,
you know, Bob, he could yell. I mean, I think that was one of the keys of his power. He could yell in such a way that he could joke and be jolly, but he also had such a fierce temper that it could really keep people under control, because they were terrified of him.
Yeah, well, I never met him, but I was terrified after this dream, believe me. All right, stay safe, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.